So turn with me, please, to, we're going to read two passages of scripture. You guys doing okay? Second Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read verse 1 through 3 and 12. If you're taking notes or if you just want to know just for yourself, the title of this message is simply Looking Unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. All we have to do is see him. That's all we're tasked with. It's just to see him. Thank you, Lord. Y'all, if y'all don't see my wife here and my two babies, they are at home. Zoe has a little bit of a sniffle kind of thing. And you know, kids don't know boundaries, so if everybody will have it in 1 second. And so, just in case, I kept her and my son home, and Vernicia is working overnight, so she's just trying to get some sleep. Y'all keep praying for her, amen? But she wishes she could be here. She loves all you all. Are y'all blessed by my wife at all? Does she? You hear it, baby? You hear it? Amen. I am too. Hey. And I'm just... Mama Joe, you right. I come home, when I hit the doorstep, I go like this. As you should. Okay. Well, I'm in good company. All right. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 3 and then 12. This story may be kind of familiar, maybe not. We're going to talk about it, though. It says, it happened after this, that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude, somebody say great multitude, is coming against you. Oh, Lord, how many of us feel like what's coming against us is a lot? It may not be a lot of one thing. It may be a lot of small things that feel like a lot. Amen. And so they told him, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Gedi. Verse 3 and then 12. It says, and Jehoshaphat was afraid. I love what he's done. It says, Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Where you see that fear, put in any human emotion that you struggle or deal with. Jehoshaphat could have been angry, but what he did after is what's important. He could have been confused, right? He could have been bitter, anything. But what follows that is that he set himself to seek the Lord. He didn't try to take care of it. Oh my goodness, don't let me get into it. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 12. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate you so much. Jen be up here preaching, y'all. Jen be like, I tell you one thing. Jen, you better go. Jen will get mad at you. If you don't worship the Lord, Jen will get mad. He's been too good. You'd be like. Jimmy preaching. I love it. We got a whole church full of preachers. Amen. Verse 12. Oh, our God. This is Jehoshaphat speaking. Will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude. I wish many of us would have the same humility Jehoshaphat said and realize that you don't have any power against what's coming against you. It takes humility to realize that. Because if you don't know that, then pride will tell you to get even with something you're no match for. Woo! Maybe it's just me, Mama Barb. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Man, but we are wasting time fighting in the flesh. Oh, God, it says, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Somebody say, it's okay to not know what to do. I want to say it one more time so somebody can catch it. Say, it's okay to not know what to do. Somebody real bold just say, I ain't even got a plan. There you go. It's all okay. Now listen to this. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Let me tell you what our eyes are on you mean. It doesn't mean I know what you're going to do. That's my mama Barb dance right there. Oh my Jesus, we love you. We don't have the strength and we don't have a strategy, but we're just looking to you. Oh Lord. Is that just resonating somebody right now? Oh my God. All I have to do is look to you. Why have I made it so complicated in trying to fix the many fires that are in my life, when all I was ever supposed to do was just to look and to know that He is the source of all things? Our eyes are on you. Our focus is on you. Our affection is towards you. Give all ourselves to you. I give you my situation and then I abandon it. Oh, it's tough. God's already ministering to us right now. It's tough. But that is the encouragement today. That you're not trying to worship or serve God with the weight. Because when we do that, we're of the mindset that God needs a servant more than He does a son or daughter. I just got to pay my tithes. You heard Stephen say it's four ways to give. That's all I want to know. Not knowing that God's heart isn't that you just empty your pockets, but His heart is that you understand this is to bless you more than it's ever going to bless me. How many know your Lord don't need anything? But it's a principle set up to bless you. We love you, Jesus. We bless you. There is something powerful about being able to focus on Jesus. We're going to get into it. But the answer is look to Jesus. Today, without even knowing your situation, the answer is look to Jesus. Watch this. The answer isn't, Jesus, tell me what you're going to do. He never said that. Joseph had said, I'm just going to look to you. And there's some type of peace that comes about when I'm looking at the one in whom I believe, who has all power. Oh God, we love you today. Your answer is to look to Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're going to do today, what you've already done. Lord Jesus, open our hearts and our minds so that we can receive everything that you have for us today. We bless you for it, and we love you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Chuck, I appreciate you, man. Whoa. We love you, Father. Y'all, that's the message right there. The answer that you have been looking for is Jesus. It's simply Jesus. Understand something about Jehoshaphat. So, Jehoshaphat, who was king after his father, in chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles, it talks about this. He was a king of the southern region, Judah. And one thing that I thought was interesting in, I think it's 2 Chronicles 17, is that the Bible says that the Lord blessed him because he followed after his father's way. The Lord blessed him because he was looking at a godly example, and what he looked at, he became. Ooh, that's a word right there. The Lord blessed him not because Jehoshaphat heard from the Lord and God gave him these secret things to be blessed or whatever. It doesn't even mention that. It said he looked at his father. And because his father followed the Lord, Jehoshaphat, who was following his daddy's example, was blessed. What you looking at? Wow. He was so blessed that the Bible says that he did three different powerful things in the beginning of his reign. He was about 25 when he was king. And one of the things that he did that was very powerful and very unique to him at the time, just following in the precepts of the Lord, was that he tore down all pagan shrines because it was the God of Israel that they were going to worship in that region. He said, we're not going to worship any other gods. Another thing that he did was he sent out teachers of the law in all the land. Sent out teachers of the law. What's so powerful about him following the Lord is that the Lord blessed him, the Bible says, that everyone around his kingdom, all his enemies, were at peace with him. Can I tell you how to enjoy the peace of God? Where your enemies don't have any effect on you. And when I say enemies, I ain't talking about people all the time. Sometimes the enemy is in a me. Come on. All right, I got some witnesses on that one. And so he has peace. And the Bible says that the Philistines and those from Arabia, they would bring him gifts. His enemies would bring him gifts in order to show a sign of peace. Like, we don't want to mess with you. We know who your daddy is. Amen. And so because he walked in the way of the Lord, he experienced the peace of God. What happened is later on in those chapters as it goes along, is there was another king of the northern tribe, right, Israel. This was King Ahab. And he was wicked. That's Jezebel and them, right? He was wicked, and Jehoshaphat knew this. They were trying to have a sign of peace, so Jehoshaphat wanted his child to marry Ahab's child so it could be like a peace little thing. They got together, and Ahab said, you know, two kings talk, king talk, right? He said, you know what we should do? We should just be ruling together. Why don't we vibe more? And Jehoshaphat was like, all right, sounds good. Keep going. He was like, yeah, man, there's this place, Ramoth Gilead. We should just take that place over, just me and you. Right? This is a wicked king trying to become partners with one of God's men. I ain't even gonna go there. Yes, I am. Be careful. Who you come into partnership? My goodness. And so he said, you know what? All right. And I was reading this story and I was just like, it's so funny because a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever been here, but you partner up with somebody in whatever venture, whatever it is. Have you ever been in a situation where you partnered up with somebody and then somehow in that whole situation, you got the short end of the stick? Like, this ain't go the way you said it was going to go. So they go and they go and try to take under siege Ramoth Gilead. And what happens is King Ahab, the wicked king, says, because he knew people were after him, right? He said, this is what we're going to do. We both kings. I'm not going to dress like a king. You dress like a king. Because they are here killing kings. I'm going to wear the pajamas that I woke up in. And Jehoshaphat, man, come on, Jehoshaphat. You got to know better than that. Jehoshaphat was like, okay, okay, I like that. And so he did, and sure enough, he partnered with an enemy. He goes out, and the people that were looking for, my mom used to tell me this all the time, the people that were looking for Ahab were attacking Jehoshaphat. Because they were looking for a king. And Jehoshaphat, boy, he was like, it ain't me, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me, it's not. So that saw it wasn't him. And long story short, where this is concerned, the Bible says that somebody shot an errant arrow and it hit King Ahab between the joints of his armor. It was prophesied that he was going to die. And what the Lord said where he was concerned came to pass. It don't matter what you dress like. It don't matter if you try to hide. If the Lord says it, it's going to come to pass. Amen somewhere. Let me flip it real quick. If the Lord says you're blessed, it don't matter what you look like. It don't matter what you dress like. If the Lord called you to come to the front, lead. If he's called you forth in this season, it don't matter if you try to sit in the back. It don't matter if you try to hide. It don't matter if you try to duck down. It don't matter. It don't matter. If he said it, it's going to. Amen. Yeah, so. Gino, what ended up happening is, come on. Ain't y'all glad Gino back in here? We love you, Gino. So what ends up happening is, that didn't go the way that they expected it to go. And so Jehoshaphat is in a place where the prophet prophesied to him and says, the Lord is angry with you because of that partnership. Very next chapter, all of a sudden, him walking in the grace of God where no one wanted to war against him, all of a sudden, people trying to get at him, Jehoshaphat, these armies. Jehoshaphat has no, well, I'm not going to say he has no strategy. This is what's amazing about it. We just read what he said. He said, we don't know what to do. Lord, help us. Our eyes are on you. Here's the thing. When attack comes, you only need one strategy. When stress comes, when depression comes, when confusion comes, when lust comes, you only need one strategy. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do against them, but I know how to get in your presence. Man. The only strategy he had nothing to do with his enemies. The only strategy that he utilized was, I know how to get into the presence of God. I wonder if any of us today have that strategy. No matter what comes up against us, I'm not worried about the enemy. I'm not worried about anything, but I know how to get in God's presence. Come on in here. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's something powerful when you focus on Jesus. I want to bring us to that place of rest where we're just looking at him. Let's read here. Jen, if you can go to Numbers 21. And we're going to read verse 4 to 9. Is this blessing anybody? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Man, my finances. No, look to Jesus. My relationship. No, 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 no. Look to Jesus. If you have any strategy, let your strategy be. Come on, Mama Joe, you do it. Come on. Mama Joe. The Lord just be using people. For y'all who are visiting, she seen me up here melting. And so the Lord pricked her heart. All right. Yeah. Numbers 21:4. All we have to do is look to Jesus. Listen to this. It says, then they journeyed. We're talking about the children of Israel, right? This mass exodus from oppression in Egypt. They're in the wilderness. It says, then they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged because in a sense, they were trying to get ultimately to Canaan. But the way to get around the Red Sea was basically having to go back. And so they like, it seems like we're regressing. Is there anybody in here who have felt like that from time to time? That in order to get, for the Lord to get you to go forward, it seems like you have to go back sometimes? am I talking to anybody besides myself? Woo! And so they were very discouraged by that. Next verse, it says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Has anybody ever got saucy with God like that? Just me and you, Mama Joe? Okay, Kim. Everybody else like, I'm holy as the Lord is holy. Yeah, B, boy, I tell you. Y'all a whole bunch of King James. No, I'm just playing. Okay, it says, and the people spoke against God and Moses, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul hates this worthless bread. They talking about that heaven bread that was falling down. How quickly we can get beside ourselves with the blessings of God. Oh, my God. How quickly you forget that just last season you couldn't even dress yourself half the... How quickly we forget. When there was a time that we wish we can get something off the dollar menu because we ain't have enough. Quickly, we forget. They were starving, beaten, oppressed, raped. And so the Lord sent them food. And they say, we hate it. How quickly... How quickly, y'all, let me mess with our marriages, that we have we can have an attitude with our spouse. But we forget that last relationship we was in. How quickly we can forget the goodness of God. Whew. Next verse for me. So the Lord said, you hating on my bread? The Bible says the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And many other people of Israel died. The Lord said, don't nobody talk about my bread. Lord was in heaven like, what they say? No, run that back. Run that back. What they say? They talking about my bread? Serpents. Jesus really is on one today. I don't know. Now, how many of y'all know that he didn't attack him because of the bread, right? What ended up happening was, and they admit to this, and we're going to read it, but it was a sin to speak against God and God's man. And so what God did was judge the sin. Wasn't the bread necessarily, right? But it was the sin that he spoke against. And how many know that God is a God of justice? He can't help but to be. He don't put it down. You know, there's a scripture that says, unless the way it's worded is very funny and strong, right? It says, unless you hate your mother and father, you aren't fit for the kingdom. That's really strong language. But what it's saying is, unless you totally put them all the way out of the way and prioritize the Lord alone, you're not fit for the kingdom. And here's why. It's because you can represent the kingdom, right? Let me give you all an example. Are there any police officers? Anybody like that? Cool. I can go off on y'all. No, I'm just playing. So think about, like, if you were a police officer and you're just giving tickets out that day. So you're pulling somebody over. You were speeding. Here's a ticket. You were speeding. Here's a ticket. You're representing the government enforcing the laws to stay safe on the street, right? You were speeding, here's a ticket. But all of a sudden, you pull your cousin over. When you pull your cousin over, you're like, oh, man. Listen, just get out of here, man, okay? Hurry up. Slow down. See, all of a sudden, because you prioritize one relationship over the other, you're willing to bend the rules. This is the thing about the Lord. He can't bend the rules. He's all justice. Though he loves you, he's still a God of justice. So I have to judge the sin, but I'm also a God of mercy. We can pause right there. How many of y'all glad for his mercy? And so, next verse for me. This is the people, right? The people says, is this blessing anybody? It says, therefore, after they was bit up by the serpents, it says, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We was tripping on that bread. Give me another piece. It says, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Next verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, somebody say looks at it. When he looks at it, he shall live. You're talking about a God who is all justice and all mercy. I can't bend the rules. If you sin, there's judgment for sin. My God. But because I'm a God of mercy, I'm the same God that who judges the sin but gives you a way out. And so what happened is Moses did exactly what was said. So Moses makes this shrine type of statue of a snake, and the people are bitten. When they're bitten by the serpents, all they have to do is look. Somebody say, look. All they have to do is look at this serpent who was propped up on a pole. Sounds real familiar to me. They have to just look at something that's hanging on a pole. Somebody help me in here. All you have to do, I like the way John, go to John 3 for me, and we're going to read 14 and 15. They were bitten, and these are venomous vipers, and they look, and when they look, they're healed. I like how John says this. It says, John references this. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal. My God, we love you, Jesus. There are just a few things to point out in this passage in Numbers 21 that are synonymous with us as we look to Jesus. That these who were bitten by vipers were not responsible for finding a cure. That's not your responsibility. You're not supposed to fix yourself. You're not. What's lovely is that the Israelites at the time, they said in themselves, we have sinned. What's happened to us is our fault. But God in all his mercy said, doesn't matter. If you look to me, I will totally restore, heal, and deliver you. How many of us can be honest and say some of the things in our life, our fault? Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. When we came here, we were guilty. Our fault. But doesn't matter. That God of justice is also a God of mercy. And he says, even though I must judge the sin, if you, the man or the woman, if you simply look to me, I'll totally restore you. I'll totally heal you. I will bring you off drugs. You ain't got to get yourself off drugs. I will get you out. Do I have any testimonies where God brought you out? Come on. When we look to him, come on, look at those hands that are going up. Come on, God did it. He already did it. All we did was look to him. We don't have a book. We don't have a five-step process. We looked to Jesus, and the moment we looked to him, we were healed. The moment we looked to him, our lives were saved. Amen. I'm trying to hurry up, y'all. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. John 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 8, 1 through 11. So I don't want to read this. I'm just going to kind of, for your notes, write it down. But this is a story of the woman caught in adultery. It's the same story of Numbers. Because the Pharisees and religious teachers said they caught her in the act, which means it was her fault. Right? And they were trying to trip Jesus up. And they said, the law of Moses says stone her. Right? It's the law. Right? Stone her. Trying to trip Jesus up. The law was for her to die. We are supposed to judge sin. It was true in Numbers. It's true in John. Sin is supposed to be judged. The thing about the Pharisees and the religious leaders, Monty, is this. They only knew one side of God. They just wanted to talk about the justice side. They ain't know nothing about the mercy side. Woo! How many of you are glad for his mercy in here? How unfair is it if somebody just talk about one side of you? Because we got different sides. We got the home us. We got the work us. We got the hungry us, be having an attitude. I'm sorry, I'm just hungry. I didn't eat all day. And how would you like it? Not going anywhere for a while. How would you like it if somebody was describing you to someone else and they only talked about the hungry you? They're crazy, impatient. They almost took a bite out of me. I don't know what that was about. And so this is what the religious leaders were doing with the law. They were trying to represent God, but they were only talking about a side. And so Jesus, who is the expression of God's mercy, my God, he says it. We know the story just a little bit. He says, okay, I hear you. You're right. He said, but whoever's without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. And they was all like, you gonna throw yours? No, I'm still struggling with some stuff. Hold on. Throw yours. All of a sudden, they drop these stones. And Jesus, the Bible says, he's knelt down, riding. He did this a couple times. And when they were all gone, he rose up, much like that snake was propped up on that pole. And when he rose up, she seen him, and she seen that it was only him. And so all of a sudden, just like how the snake took away the judgment from the people, Jesus, who is mercy, says, where are your condemners? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. How many of you know that same Jesus that did it in Numbers took away her sin right there? Oh, my God. Woo.
We bless you, Lord.
The Bible says when he rose up, she was the only one on the inner circle. It was just her and Jesus. She focused on him. She not worried about the adultery no more, anything like this. Let me say this to you. We're going to wrap up real quick. My God. Jesus. We have a responsibility, y'all. Here's our responsibility. This may challenge you. There are things that's happened to us in our lives that were absolutely devastating. Things that have happened to us that maybe many people don't even know. Things that have happened to us that, just like the venom from the snake, are killing us from the inside. Man, here's our responsibility. And it's what the enemy wants you to do. It's the opposite, right? When those Israelites, men and women, got bit by the snake, if they would have focused on where they were hurt, they would have died. Some of us are dying because we're focused on the hurt. Some of us are dying because we refuse to look up. I can't get over the fact that I was molested. I can't get over the fact that I was abandoned. They left me. They lied on me. They said they were going to be there. They said it, and they left just like everybody else. And I'm looking at it, and I'm staring at it, and it's killing me on the inside. It's killing me. I'm not over the fact that grandma died, grandpa died, mom died, dad died, my brother got shot. I'm not over those things, and I'm looking at it. I'm looking at how that family member who I was supposed to trust violated me. Come on in here, somebody. And I can't get past it. It's killing me. The divorce is killing me. I try to act like I'm churchy. I try to act like I'm doing good, but I can't stop focusing on the hurt. The only responsibility that we have is to abandon the snake bite and look at the one that is hanging on the pole. Sometimes it's the toughest thing to do. Because I feel like if I stop looking at it, that means that I'm letting them off the hook. And now I remember this. See, this is why I don't trust nobody now. See, that's what killing looks like. When it's killing you on the inside, come on. Preach it back to me, Duane. What is it killing? It's killing your ability to trust. It's killing your ability to love. You can't stop focusing on what happened, so you bring what happened into every new situation. It's killing your ability to laugh. It's killing your ability to see yourself as God sees you. Because you keep focusing on what happened or what you did. Amen. Or you keep focusing on what took place in your life as opposed to looking unto Jesus. Something happens when we look at him. We don't have the answers. None of us do. We don't have the strategy. None of us do. But we do have the ability to look up. And what happens when we look up? I just love how the scripture talks about in Genesis, how we were made in his image. And so the more I look at him, the more I see who I really am. Something happens when I look at him where that venom in that toxic relationship that was supposed to kill me, he took it on himself. The hatred that was supposed to kill me, he took it on himself. The depression that was supposed to kill me, he took it on himself. All because I looked at him. All because I set my affections on things above. Amen. We're going to pray in just one second. All I want to do today is refocus us. Simplify that walk with God that you have and realize that you're not only supposed to walk alongside him. Yes, the Holy Spirit partners with us, but your focus has to be Jesus. Only. Only. My God. Whew. Man, I can't even get into the rest of that. It's just too much. We're going to do a part two. Father, we bless you. Wow. We must look to Jesus. That is how you're going to enter into this next season and phase of life healthy. Watch this. Free. Come on in here, y'all. All the little booby traps the enemy tries to put in your life that'll bring you back, I'm going to look to him, and somehow God purifies me. Not only was the venom not in those Israelites anymore, but they were completely restored because they looked at him. It's so much more that I have where I want to get into how we approach him and what the Lord is saying on getting into his presence and all this thing, but we just don't have time to get into it. So I'll probably talk about it tomorrow, but right now I want us to stand. And, whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to rest in this truth right here. It's not your responsibility. I'm talking about that thing that is on you right now, right? It's not your responsibility to do anything with it. Jesus, literally, all you're asking me to do is to focus on you. And somehow, when I'm focused on you, everything unlike you falls off of me. I'm not responsible with delivering myself. I'm just responsible with worshiping, looking unto Jesus. And all those things that were trying to hold me back, they fall off. So I want to extend this to you today. My prayer for us today is that we refocus. We give everything to him, everything to Jesus. That we take every hurt, worry, confusion, any of those things that are frustrating us off of the altar of our hearts. And we put Jesus back in his rightful place. Let me say this to you. It is not too late. You haven't gone too far. Man. It's not too devastating or too deep. The moment you look up, everything changes. The moment you look up, everything changes. We bless you, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Let's just pray for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're refocusing all of us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That means I have to abandon the bite. Oh, my God. I have to abandon the bite. I have to abandon those things. And I'm just encouraging you to do that right now in this moment for those who would. The worry, abandon it. Yeah, it's there, but it won't be when you focus on Jesus. The fear, abandon it. The bitterness, abandon it, even though you feel justified in holding it. Abandon it. And look to Jesus. And what happens when you look to Jesus is you take on his person. So joy is restored. Peace is restored. Power is restored. You're restored much like the prodigal son was, immediately. Bless your name, Jesus. So I want to pray with you. For those of us, we're just going to partner together. We're not going to make it deep. But I do want to say, for those of us, watch this. You may be walking with God with such a beautiful stride, but you haven't abandoned the bite. And the bite is killing you. With your beautiful breakdown of the word, your beautiful singing and the way you just be looking so good on Sundays. Oh, yeah, be looking good. However, the bite is killing you. The encouragement is for you to abandon that bite today. And for those who know I need to abandon the bite in my life, just raise your hands up real high for me. this prayer in faith, this prayer is going to be life-altering for you if your faith can partner with it. It's not a magic trick. I don't know magic. I know Jesus. If you will partner in faith and abandon what's killing you, restoration is going to happen immediately. Joy is going to be restored to me. Come here, Michelle. Joy is going to be restored immediately. Just lift your hands for me. Immediately. My God.
Not to be affected by the bite of pornography. Not to be affected by the bite of perversion. Come on, help me. Not to be affected by the bite of that sickness in our body. Not to be affected by it. But in you, we're whole. We're whole. We're whole. And we're going to simplify our lives today by just looking to Jesus. The attack of the enemy, the strategy of the enemy is he's telling you, figure it out. Yeah. You better have a plan. If you don't, everything's going to be ruined. It's a lie of the enemy. I don't need a plan. I need Jesus. So we thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you. We receive all that healing virtue. We receive, Lord God, your spirit in us. We take on your mind. We take on your heart. Father, we take on your peace. As we look to you, we become more like you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. More of you. More of you. More of you. More of you. Is there anybody else? If there's anybody else want to come down, we want to partner in faith. If you come down, we'll pray with you. If not, I want to pray a prayer of dismissal. Father, in the name of Jesus, yeah, come on down. Come on down. We will pray. We will pray. We will pray. We will pray. Come on down. If the Lord is nudging you, come. It's you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. What has happened is though we are going into new seasons, we're going through poisoned because we won't stop looking at what happened. But here's Jesus making all things right. When those things call from the left and the right, when those distractions cause those frustrations try to get your attention, look to Jesus. He'll do it. Let me say a prayer of dismissal. And if you still need prayer, come on down. We'll pray with you. Father, I thank you for each and every soul that is here, each and every family that is represented here. God, we understand now it is not our responsibility to fix ourselves. Father, we understand that as we look to you, Lord God, there's healing takes place. As we look to you, restoration takes place. As we look to you, sin is removed. We bless you for it. And Father, as we leave this place, never let us leave your presence. We honor you. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. If you have to leave, I love you so much. Thank you for being here.